constables wield great power in Massachusetts, serving court papers, making arrests, and seizing personal property. But there is no training required and no oversight provided, leading some constables to aggressively pursue debtors, using questionable and intimidating tactics. These are the voices of four people accused of owing money whose lives were upended by their encounters with constables.
It was roughly around a little before 6 a.m. on a Saturday.
It was about 12 o'clock at night.
It was early Saturday morning.
It was December 14th. We were running late for school. I was in the car warming it up. The kids were getting in the car, and a man came up to me in a uniform and told me that he was here to take my car.
The constable had a badge, and he had some paperwork saying that he was there to seize my vehicle.
All they said to me was, we're here to seize your vehicle.
You know, one guy, like they said, starts pulling out a bully club and starts tapping it in his hand, and I'm thinking, I said, are you the police? And they said, no, we're constables, you know? And I'm like, what are you doing? He says, we're taking your car.
I saw a badge. I was dumbfounded, you know, for lack of better words, and basically I gave him my keys.
I didn't know what was going on. I thought I had to legally just give it to them.
And I come down with a couple of $100 or whatever, and he said it was a large amount of money that I did not have. And he said, well, we have a judgment against you. You're going to have to pay that amount. If you don't, he said, we'll take every single thing out of your house.
Good person that I am, I had no idea what they were talking about. So I'm saying, what do you mean seize my vehicle? For what? All they did was hand me a piece of paper that kind of showed like a brief court document saying that they would have the authority to seize my vehicle. And I told them for what? By whom?
And it was like 5 minutes after my daughter came on, so they had to be watching my house. Or I was like, geez, like I'm this big criminal. So I was a mess. I was crying. I called somebody to come and get the kids to take them to school. And then I called Norfolk Financial.
He told me that I'd have 4 days to come up with the money. It was scary. All I saw, I don't know that much about the law. All I saw was paperwork, a figure, but it was under Norfolk Financial. But to have the constable come to my house with a badge early on a Saturday morning, I felt uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do.
Oh, I felt like violated. I felt like I was shocked. I'm like, what country am I living in? Really? I found out afterwards that they held my car in the lot for 30 days, which by law, they're not allowed to do that.
Having a car is definitely a privilege. It's not a luxury thing. Not having a car, I used to look at people at the T standing for the bus stop, and I used to say, geez, you know, I'm going from point A to B in a matter of 20 minutes, and they're waiting for the Mattapan bus. That will take a long time on a Sunday.
It affected me monetarily more than anything because I still had to pay insurance. The car note still had to be paid. And I didn't have my vehicle, so I couldn't get around.
I did have to give up my night job. I waitressed at Victoria Diner over on Mass Ave. I can't walk there at night. It's not a possibility. So I had to quit that job. I worked two nights a week, and I had two very good nights. So about $200 a week. It hurts. It hurts a lot.
It wasn't that I totally, I'm not going to pay it because I'm disabled. It wasn't that. No one contacted me to say, can you make payments, anything like that.
I just really think that what they did is really bad. It's crooked. You know, it's not called for. You know, these are probably people that $4,000 would mean nothing to them. It's just like water coming out of a faucet to them.
I got absolutely nothing from them. I actually got nothing from the constable's office. I never received anything saying that my car has been sold. I never received, you know, a request for the title. Nothing. Nothing.
Come into my life and just to demand money and take my car, that wasn't right. I mean, give me some more details. You know, don't give me 4 days to come up with something that I don't even know that I owed. That's what really blew my mind. You know, talk to me some more.
I know a lot of people out there are going to say, oh, well, you know, she should have paid her bills. And you know what? They're right. But if you become disabled, they don't know what it's like, number one, to be sick and have a lot of multiple problems. And if you can't work, you lose your job, you lose everything. That's painful enough, you know, and then to go through this and then you don't have the money to try to get the car back.
It's a terrible web that they've put together, you know, and all of us just got caught in it. The wind blew us in it, you know, not willingly, but took us through there. And it's up to us to detangle that web and put up a new one and kind of barricade those who's going in that same direction and tell them, you don't want to go there. You know, it's kind of sticky in that direction.
They are Marie-Colette Dimanche, a single mother from Mattapan. In the fall of 2002, Commonwealth Receivables told her that she owed more than $2,000 in credit card debt, a bill she insists was paid. After seizing her car, the firm had it auctioned off for $2,197, about one-third of its estimated market value. Another is Thomas Jessime of Saugus. In January 2005, Norfolk Financial told him he had 4 days to come up with $1,500 to settle an old credit card debt and pay constable, towing, and storage fees, or his car would be auctioned. He later filed for bankruptcy under Chapter 13. Another is Jean Marie Fitzpatrick of South Boston. In December 2005, a constable went to her home to seize her car. There were court judgments against her for delinquent credit card accounts, totaling $3,800, but she did not know this because Norfolk Financial had given the court the wrong address. And Marie LeConte of Taunton. Constables took her car in July 2004. She had fallen behind on her bills several years earlier when she was diagnosed with a brain tumor and then became disabled due to lupus. An unpaid credit card bill of $430 ended up costing her $1,758 to erase the debt and get her car back. An unpaid credit card bill of $430 ended up costing her $1,758 to erase the debt and get her car back.